Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. When you think about cancer advocates, our next guest is someone who has made a huge impact in a lot of survivors' lives. And someday I hope that I can help as many survivors as he has. It's Doug Ullman. He's a 3-time cancer survivor, creator of the Ullman Fund for Young Adults, and CEO of Live Strong. Did I miss anything, Doug?
Oh, that sounds pretty sounds pretty good.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. No, I'm just kidding. Tell me a little bit about your, I know you're a 3-time cancer survivor. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, you know, cancer is a surprise and a shock for anyone. But
yes.
But when I was diagnosed, I was 19, and
wow.
I really just, you know, had no idea what cancer was. Didn't have a clue, and was so naive, and it was just not what you're expecting when sort of in the prime of your life. So it was a whirlwind of emotions and a roller coaster, and just something I never thought I would have to deal with at such an early age.
And you were about to go into college, and that kind of put that on hold, correct?
Well, this was actually, I was diagnosed in between my freshman and sophomore year. So at a time when I was supposed to be sort of enjoying college and becoming really independent and, you know, being out on my own and developing all those sort of skills that you need to go forward in your life, I was sort of immediately brought back to sort of needing to rely on so many people and have such a support system to help me.
Now, what is chondrosarcoma? Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. It's a very rare cancer. It is a cartilage tumor that grows typically in long bones, so typically in sort of femur or in the arm, and in my case, it was in my ribs. But
wow.
But only about 1,000 people a year in the United States are diagnosed with it, so it's a very, very rare disease.
How long did it take them to figure out that you had cancer?
So it was actually a strange process. I didn't have any symptoms at all.
Isn't that crazy? Me too, because I felt totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of the strangest thing, because the psychological aspect of that was so hard, because you feel fine, and yet they're telling you, you know, something's wrong, and you're sort of not believing it.
Exactly. I feel great.
Right. So what happened was they found this tumor growing in my ribs, and they said, you know, you can probably not worry about it. You don't have any symptoms, so you can probably leave it for a while and just get scans and sort of do that. And I just didn't sit right. And
no.
So I decided to have surgery and have part of my rib cage removed with this tumor.
Oh, wow.
And at the time I had the surgery, I still didn't know it was cancer. I thought that, you know, that this was just a growth or a tumor of some sort. And it was about 2 weeks after the surgery that the pathologist came back and said, well, we've been able to confirm now that it is this rare cancer. So quite surprised.
Wow. I can't believe the doctors would say, probably because you were young, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. They just said, you know, look, you're playing soccer in college and, you know, you don't want to miss the season. So why don't you, you know, go do that and you know, come see us over winter break and we'll take another look. And but it just didn't, you know, it sort of had one of those intuitions that didn't sit right.
Right. And that's one of the things I always say on this show. You have to be proactive. Even if you feel like you did just that little bit like, yeah, I'm not sure, if your doctor won't do it, then find another doctor who will. Because look at
exactly.
You. I mean, who knows if you waited and played soccer. What stage was that at when they found it?
Well, it was pretty early, but they just didn't know how fast it could have been growing.
Right.
And it was so close to my lungs and my spine that, you know, had it grown into the spine or the lungs, it would have been a much different situation. So, you know, again, it definitely in hindsight was the right decision. But at the time, you sort of just had to go on gut feel.
Exactly. Now, did you do chemo and radiation and all that?
I did not.
Oh.
I chose not to do that, which was, you know, sort of very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
There were mixed opinions as to what to do. And, you know, I chose the sort of wait and see approach so I could get back to school and back to my life. And so far it's turned out okay.
Excellent. And while you were in college, you had two more recurrences of...
Well, I had two different episodes of melanoma.
Okay.
About 6 months after the first diagnosis and then 3 months after that. So all within the span of about 10 months, I sort of had to deal with, you know, these different cancers. And you know, melanoma was just something I didn't know anything about and just another learning experience. And, you know, it was sort of another wake-up call, so to speak.
Yes. Now that's, correct me if I'm wrong, that's skin cancer, correct?
It is, and actually much scarier in my situation than the original chondrosarcoma. The original chondrosarcoma was so sort of predictable and contained, and yet, you know, melanoma is just so hard to diagnose, and it's so hard to detect, and the treatments, you know, if it has spread, luckily mine hadn't, but if it has spread, the treatments are very limited. And so it's just a scary, scary disease.
Yeah, and I understand that a lot of people think, like, I had breast cancer, and when people say, oh, well, I just had skin cancer. You just
right.
go, you still had cancer. You know, you
right.
should, and I don't think anyone should make light of, you know, like going out in the sun and putting sunscreen on, because I think that's one of the important things that people need to do, because, I mean, cancer sucks, let's face it. And, you know,
totally.
You wouldn't want another, obviously, recurrence. I wouldn't want to see anyone else get any kind of skin cancer. And, you know, like, I'm just shocked when people say, oh, well, it's just skin cancer.
Right. You know, I agree. And you know, melanoma is one of the deadliest forms of cancer right now.
Oh,
and especially for young women under the age of 30. And it just continues to be a bigger and bigger issue. And so, yeah, I mean, I hear that all the time, sort of people downplaying. And, you know, look, everybody's situation is different, and one is not more important or more critical or
exactly.
than another. And so, yeah, I don't like when people speak that way.
Exactly, because you're like, well, wait a minute, I had that. Now, was it the same melanoma that just spread, or was it the same?
No, it was different? two different spots, two different occurrences. So, and with melanoma, you know, once you've had it once, the chance of having it again are increased. And so, you know, I'm seen quite frequently and have had plenty of biopsies and plenty of lesions removed and moles removed. And
was that what it was, a lesion or a mole? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm pretty vigilant about that. And, you know, hopefully if I'm diagnosed in the future, I'll have caught it early.
Well, and that's another thing. If you see anything on you or you feel weird, you should definitely go to the doctor. Like I always say, you know, people ask me for my advice and I say, okay, here's my advice, but I'm on the radio. Don't listen to me. Listen to your doctor. But here's
right,
what I
sure.
did. I don't have a medical degree. So,
no, totally.
So you happen to
advocate.
Exactly. Advocate. And you are your own best advocate for sure.
Exactly.
Now, after all these diagnoses, you went back to school to Brown, correct?
Yep.
So what did you, I see that you played soccer, what did you major in? Like, how was that going back from three cancer, you know, surviving three diagnoses and then getting back to school?
You know, it was just, for me, soccer and school were sort of so important in my life. And mm-hmm. when I got back, you know, it just wasn't the same. I just sort of felt like I had gone through this maturation and, you know, I was no longer this happy-go-lucky, you know, college kid. And so, but I still did go back and play soccer, and really it sort of gave me something to work for to get back to, which was great. And, but it just never had the same sort of, same sort of importance.
But soccer kept you going as an
Absolutely.
As an athlete.
Totally.
I play hockey, but obviously not on the college level that you do. And I feel that if you're involved in sports or something like that, you definitely have the athlete's mentality of like, all right, well, let's just get this over with so I can move on and either play or get back to my life. Or, you know, because that was one of the first things when I was diagnosed. It's like, all right, well, after the initial shock, it's like, well, what do we have to do to beat this?
Right.
You know.
And no, that, totally.
And that's, you know, probably on your as whichever. What position did you play? Midfield?
So I played left midfield, yeah.
Midfield?
And, I think especially for people who are athletic or even anybody, you know, cancer is such a experience where you have such a lack of control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, you know, having something for me like soccer to focus on
exactly.
Was so important. Even if it was perceived control, just being able to focus my attention on something like that was extremely, extremely helpful.
Exactly. And if it's not sports, then find a hobby that you can do while you're recuperating. Like, I wanted to learn how to knit, but I never got into that, or just, you know,
right, sure.
Or something that keeps your mind focused on something that's positive, you know, because,
exactly.
You know, I'm sure as you know, we try to keep a positive mental attitude, but not every day is, as I say, sunshine and puppies with cancer. Although
right.
It wouldn't be nice if it was, but, you know.
No, totally. I agree. I totally agree.
So after college, you helped Brown to 3 Ivy League championships in 4 years in your soccer.
Yep.
That's pretty sweet.
We had some good success, which was fun, and I started the Ullman Cancer Fund and was running that. I got a grant to run that full-time after I graduated and was just, you know, doing what I loved, which was trying to help other people.
Right.
And it just gave me such a focus for my energy and my time, and I was sort of grateful for that.
Now, how does that work? Like, if someone comes to you, like, what does the Ullman Cancer Fund do for young adults?
We really focus on a couple different areas. One, mm-hmm. trying to connect young adults with one another that are in similar situations, because that was always something that I felt I didn't
right.
have access to, was just hearing from other people who are in the same stage of life and interacting with them. We also provide navigation programs in certain cancer centers for young adults, because, you know, the medical establishment is just not set up to deal with the issues that young adults are experiencing.
When you mean navigation centers, what do you mean by that?
So we, for instance, at certain hospitals like University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins and GW,
right.
We have navigators in the hospital who are staff that the Ullman Cancer Fund supports, that every time a young adult is in the hospital, they are there to help them navigate their experience.
Oh, very nice.
Answer questions, help them get whatever they need taken care of, and just really support their needs. So we also provide college scholarships to young adults who can't afford their higher education as a result of their cancer experience.
Right.
So those are just a few, and then educational programs and materials, but those are just a few of the programs that we provide.
Wow, that's amazing. I love the navigation program. They need that in every hospital, I think.
Absolutely. I could have used that, for sure.
I could have used that, too. And, you know, they have a big survivorship dinner at the hospital that I went to, and I was the youngest person there. And I was
really?
Like, you know, I mean, I swear, I felt like I was at, I know that sounds bad, I felt like I was at Denny's at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Because everyone
totally.
was in, I would say, 60-plus,
yep.
The older generation. And it was inspiring to see people who said they had survived cancer for 30 years. But on the same respect, I would have liked to see somebody who was closer to my age, because, as you know, when you're diagnosed so young, they're like, well, you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I mean,
sure.
even me, the doctor who did my biopsy said, oh, I don't think you have anything to worry about. He was surprised by my diagnosis.
Wow.
And I was 37. I mean, you know, if I didn't find the lump, then who knows what would have happened, you know? And
totally.
And it's about, like you said, vigilance, and the navigator's great. I mean, if you don't have anybody
yeah,
going to the hospital.
Yeah, advocate for you, and yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I know my mind was spinning, and, you know, I had my fiancé to go with me, but if you don't, then
totally.
you're just like, I'm getting cancer, and I'm getting chemo, and what now? And, you know, all these words were being thrown towards you, all these medical words, where you're just like, what? I actually had a cardiologist ask me if I was in the medical field, because I was saying, oh, yeah, I take this, 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 and this, and this. And he's like, are you in the medical field? And I wanted to go, dude, I've been a cancer patient for 3 years. I mean, honestly, I think we're all pretty well versed in the medical lingo by then, unfortunately.
Sure, sure. No, absolutely.
So how did you go from the Cancer Fund for Young Adults to the Lance Armstrong Foundation?
You know, I received an email from Lance back in 1997, out of the blue. I didn't know who he was, and he hadn't won the tour yet. And he emailed me and said, look, I know you are an athlete, and I know you've had cancer, and I know you started an organization, and, you know, let's stay in touch. And back then, email was new, so we
right.
emailed, you know, each other once or twice a month and just shared ideas and thoughts, and just became sort of this sort of dialogue back and forth. And in 2000, we finally met after 3 years of emailing, and we just started talking about what we might do together. And then I moved down here in 2001 to help the foundation start some programs, and just been here ever since. And that's been 9.5 years. So
wow.
I wasn't always in this role, and just enjoyed learning and having the opportunity to really, you know, touch a lot of people's lives, which has been phenomenal.
Yeah, and I know that it's weird because as a survivor now, you'll see all these other people on Facebook. And I know you didn't have Facebook when you were going through your treatment.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about Facebook when I was going through my treatment. And I know it would be a totally different outcome, just mentally wise, to see all these people going through the same thing I did. I see people who say, well, I didn't know about, say, the side effects of a certain kind of chemo. But the good thing about the Lance Armstrong Foundation, like as soon as I was diagnosed, that was one of the, I know that they send out the big gigantic books.
Yep, yep.
That was one of the first things I did, that and the American Cancer Society, because I was just like, you know what, I'm going to get as much information as I can, you know, as much as I can tolerate reading about my disease. And
right,
I think knowledge is the key. And I think the Lance Armstrong Foundation and Live Strong do such a good job on that, as far as telling people, hey, this is what it's about, and having Lance be the spokesperson. I mean,
right.
He went through what he went through, and and he can win the Tour de France. I mean, seriously.
Right. Totally. No, totally. I agree. I mean, knowledge is power, and you know, it's, you have to be equipped with that when you're dealing with something like cancer.
Right.
And too often people don't have access to that information or those resources. And, you know, we want to make sure that, that those barriers are broken down.
And I think it's kind of sad when I read on Facebook, they're like, well, I didn't know about this and I didn't know about that. I guess I'm more proactive than most, because I'll ask the doctors, okay, well, what about this? And if they don't give me the answers that I want, then I'll look it up and then I'll ask them again. You know,
totally.
And I think that a lot of people think, okay, well, the doctor says this, so that's all there is. And then, you know, and I know people who said, who've doctors told them, oh, you only have 6 months to live, and that was years ago. So you can't, you know, doctors don't know everything. I don't want to badmouth the medical profession. Obviously, that's not what I'm doing, but you have to, like I said, be vigilant, be proactive, find out as much as you can. And that's one of the great things about your organization.
Absolutely. No, we, you know, it's so frustrating to hear from people who say, you know, I didn't know about that, or I wish I would have known about that. And, you know, that's really our focus going forward, is how can we make sure that we can get resources into the hands of people who need them the most when they need them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, yeah, I know, it was just phenomenal, all the paperwork that you get. And I know that there's numbers in, luckily I haven't had to need the book in a while, but there's, you know, numbers in the book that you can go to and you can call people. And I think the Lance Armstrong Foundation, you can, does that hook you up with people of similar?
We do. We have partners mm-hmm. that do that for us, but we connect people with them for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, you didn't know anyone who was 19 who had your disease. And
right.
I hate to say disease, but your
no,
cancer.
No, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Totally.
And that's another thing with your organization and my podcast. It's, I think we're trying to do the same thing by telling people, okay, you can get cancer at any age. I've met stage 4 breast cancer survivors, and they're like fresh out of college. And you were 19
right.
and in college and had 3 cancers. I mean, the medical profession, I think, has to wake up a little and say, oh, you know, if somebody sent you home and said, oh, yeah, you'd be fine. And if you said, okay, sure, and just went along your merry way. I mean, who knows if we'd even be having this conversation right now? And that's kind of scary. You know,
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, you know, and Matt Zachary with Stupid Cancer does the same thing. I mean, I see, probably as well as you, see younger and younger people. And I think that's a portion of the, I don't want to say audience, but a portion of the patients that kind of get overlooked.
Yep.
And I think that we are trying to overcome that. And not saying that, you know, anybody above the age of whatever, 30, when they get cancer. But I think younger people are, like I said, it's like kind of like, oh, well, you don't have to worry about it. It's
right.
Like, yeah, I do. There's only one me. I have to worry
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. No, and yeah, and, you know, life is so unpredictable.
Exactly.
And none of us know sort of who's going to be touched. And, you know, we just have to be vigilant and proactive.
So tell me one of the best stories that either the Ullman Fund or the Lance Armstrong Foundation, like the best way that it's touched.
There's so many. You know, there's so many. Wow. you know, it just, for me, you know, hearing from people who've been touched is so phenomenal, whether it's, you know, in letters or emails or phone calls. And, you know, it obviously never gets old to hear those stories. And if we can do that for more and more people, then that's wonderful. I'll never forget there was a story at about an event here in Austin years ago where we had an individual who was just newly diagnosed. And was given a certain option for treatment that was very debilitating, and he was really unsure of what to do. And so, you know, he was at this event, and there were many other survivors that had the same type of cancer, and he was talking to them, and they were saying, well, wait a minute, we had the same thing, but we had this treatment instead. And there were doctors there, and there were people, and he immediately had this community. And the long, you know, sort of story of it was that he ended up switching to a different type of treatment, one that preserved his fertility, saved his life, and was much, much less debilitating. And he now has a wonderful family, and he credits that event as really saving not only his life, but saving his sort of quality of life. And so, you know, there's stories like that time and time again, and, you know, it's just always awesome to hear.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about your organization and Facebook, and I know you have the blogs that people can respond to as well.
Sure.
You know, like you said, if you can just touch one person, or, you know, like if I'll blog and I'll hear, or even if I don't, someone says, oh, well, I didn't know I could get that side effect from this.
Right.
And then they talk to their doctor. Like insomnia is a huge side effect of chemo, and that I think that doctors don't really tell you about.
Sure,
they
sure.
just kind of, I don't know if they just kind of figure that you'll get it, but I had no idea that the reason that I couldn't sleep was because I thought I was just stressed out over everything. And then you find out, oh, it's because of the chemo. Oh, well, then you find ways to remedy that kind of thing.
Totally.
I mean, the guy who was able to get different treatment, I mean, that's just amazing.
No, absolutely. And, you know, so hearing those stories is just, it makes coming to work early in the morning every day
exactly
more and more worth it.
So what does the future hold for the young for the Allman Cancer Fund and the Lance Armstrong Foundation?
Well, obviously, I mean, we have more and more people to help and to support, and, you know,
right.
young adults with cancer in particular, it's a growing population.
Unfortunately.
And so, you know, we're eager to make sure we can do whatever we can to support those individuals and to change the outcome for those who unfortunately will be diagnosed in the future. At Livestrong, I mean, we continue to run our programs and support our programs, and at the same time, you know, really wanting to make sure that, you know, that we can still have an impact internationally as the global cancer burden grows.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really focused on two things: direct service and support to people and families with cancer, and advocating for the issues that impact them. So that direct service and the advocacy piece are critical.
And I think you're doing a fantastic job of it, by the way.
Well, thank you. We're trying.
Yeah,
we can always improve.
And, you know, I don't know if everybody does, but I wear a Livestrong bracelet, and there are some days where I'm just like, today just sucks. And I'll look at that, and I'll just be like, okay, well, you know, I'm here, and it kind of just like, you just kind of think, okay, well, you know, everything you went through, life doesn't, you know, it's not that bad. You know, just because I'm having a bad day today, think about everything else I went through. You know, the car broke down, so what? You know.
Right. Exactly. It's all perspective.
It is all perspective, and I'm actually looking at my Livestrong bracelet right now. Well, Doug, it was fantastic. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do so?
Well, they can always call the foundation here, 512-236-8820.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the easiest way is on Twitter.
Yes.
At Livestrong CEO. And, you know, I respond to almost everything I get on Twitter, so I say almost, but
right.
pretty much everything. So I love hearing from people.
Excellent. And thank you for joining us today, Doug. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a junkie at Mel Majoros. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.